And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about it. Alabama. Y'all, I'm saying this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville. Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. By the way, before I jump into the dipper, I got to say there's some breaking news. The lovely Charlene brought it to my attention a little while ago. Israel has launched a counterstrike against in Beirut. This is not Gaza. This is another front. I mean, just to quickly outline the geography, picture Israel, and then to its immediate kind of southwestern or south, yeah, western side, you've got the Gaza Strip. That's where all the fighting has been. To the northeastern side, you've got what's called the West Bank. That's a part of the Palestinian authorities, but the Palestinian Authority is split. Israel splits it in half. And then north of that is Lebanon. And Lebanon is where, so right now they're fighting Hamas in Gaza, right? To their west side. But to their north is another Iranian proxy that is such a royal pain and has been targeting them for years, is Hezbollah. Hezbollah is like a nation within a nation. Hezbollah controls whole swaths of Lebanon. Well, Israel has now launched missile strikes into Beirut, trying to target the terror commander who was behind a deadly attack. So yeah, if you didn't hear it yesterday afternoon, I believe it was, maybe it was the day before, Israel suffered another attack. So it's not, listen, Hezbollah, they can care less. They want to kill and maim. They don't care who's in the way. And so they launched missiles, Hezbollah did, from inside the borders of Lebanon and wound up killing 12 children on a soccer field. Let that sink in. Can you imagine? I mean, those of y'all that have kids or grandkids who play, you know, little guy soccer, can you imagine? You're there on a Saturday watching your kids play soccer. They're little bitty. They're running around. They're kicking daisies. And next thing you know, a bomb goes off and 12 kids lay dead. That's the life in Israel sometimes. And so, Israel targeting terror leaders inside the capital city of Beirut, Lebanon. Man, what a mess. All right, let me jump on in here to dipper number one, the SCOTUS ploy. So if you have not heard, Joe Biden has decided he's got another mission in life. He's going to get something done. Really? Yes. In his most successful of presidential terms, he's going to go out with a bang. This will be awesome. So Biden has announced, as of yesterday afternoon, he officially announced that he intends to make changes to the Supreme Court of the United States. Okay. Nothing like, you know, picking a small target, right? No, he gave a speech yesterday at the Lyndon Baines Johnson Presidential Library, which, by the way, that's kind of irony, because LBJ is the only other president in modern history to have not chosen not to run for re-election, because he was also talked out by his party. So anyway, Biden gave a speech yesterday, and he said that he's going to be working for reforms. He calls them reforms of the Supreme Court. Reforms. The idea of reforms means you need to change the way you do business because things aren't working. Oh, let's be real clear. What's happened is they don't like the rulings they're getting. That's what's happened. Keep in mind that Joe Biden has been in D.C. for 5 decades. 50 years. Did he try to do this before? No. Did he try to do it back when the liberals had control of the court? No. This is all about you're a loser and you're a sore loser, so you're going to be in, you know, a lashing out loser. Anyway, what he wants to do is this. He wants to put term limits on the Supreme Court, and he wants to have what he calls an enforceable code of conduct, as well as a constitutional amendment against presidential immunity. Okay. How about this, Mr. President? You first. You first. When you leave office, you better not have any honorariums, no speaking engagements, none of it. Well, Phil, are judges getting those kind of things? I don't know, but are you saying that's influencing their decision? Do you think it'd be more influential if judges knew that they had to kowtow to political whims? I do. I think you'd wind up having a lot of decisions that were based on pure politics. Well, why would it want term limits? Because right now what you're looking at is he's trying to put something in place that would say that every, I think it's 18 years, which is a long time, y'all, it really is. But every 18 years, somebody has to come off the court. If they were there for 18 years, they're done. Okay, so what he's doing is when you consider the fact that an average presidency is 8 years, he's trying to pack as many changes within a presidential term as possible, meaning judges will be looking over their shoulder all the time. But then what's this thing about a code of conduct? Well, he's trying to pick and choose the arguments that liberals have been making lately. Well, you can't go give speeches because, you know, they may fly you there and give you and have you give a speech, and there's a perk. It's a perk. Have you looked at Nancy Pelosi's portfolio? Have you? Shouldn't maybe, I don't know, Joe Biden, who has made years, years of habit capitalizing off of his name? His whole family got rich off of his name, even while he was in office. But now Joe wants to say the Supreme Court of the United States is somehow a problem. How about this? What he's really doing, is attacking the court for daring to have conservative views. Well, Phil, you're not choosing to believe, are you, that we shouldn't have a code of conduct? We have a code of conduct. By the Constitution, they are appointed for life or good cause. Life or good cause. In other words, if you have good cause, bring it. Start the impeachment process. Bring criminal charges. Well, you know, what we're saying is, what you're saying is you're a sore loser. But Joe Biden's comment, though, story here I've got from ABC News. Quote, I have respect for institutions and the separation of powers laid out in the Constitution. Do you? Do you really? But what's happening now, he says, is not consistent with that doctrine of separation of powers. Extremism is undermining the public confidence in the court's decision. Extremism? No, conservatism is undermining liberals' confidence in the court. That's what's happening here. And by the way, we're getting split decisions anyway. Not everything's going the way we wish it would. And then he goes on to say, they ruled, as you know, that the President of the United States has immunity for potential crimes he may have committed while in office. Immunity. No, he doesn't have potential immunity. He doesn't have immunity for crimes he committed. He has immunity for the acts of his office. Mr. President, Joe Biden, you're going to want this too. Because you're going to leave office, and there's a bunch of people who are pissed at the way you've run the last 4 years. There's a bunch of people out there who believe that you ought to go to jail. There's a bunch of people out there who believe you have capitalized on your name. You have made poor decisions to benefit your family. You have strong-armed foreign governments in order to gain leverage on things that you wanted for your personal benefit. There's a lot of things out there that people believe you could go to trial for. Are you gonna? Are you really gonna remove the immunities that everybody has always had in office, but the Supreme Court finally codified because they realized what was happening was you were trying to strip away what had always been because of Trump? Biden says, this nation is founded on the principle that there are no kings. There are no kings in America. Each of us is equal before the law. No one's above the law, he says, except Joe Biden. Oh, and Hunter Biden. Oh, and James Biden and Jill Biden. And I'm pretty sure Ashley Biden and, you know, all the other grandbaby Bidens. I don't know. That's the way it feels. The bottom line is this. It ain't going to happen. And I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But it ain't going to happen. It's not going to work. Number one, he hadn't got the chutzpah to do it. He can barely give the speech. The problem we have to watch is what happens if Kamala Harris gets elected and we don't control the House and the Senate. If that's the case, you could be looking at some trouble. But even still, these are constitutional amendments. That is not just a simple vote. And by the way, the founders knew exactly what they were doing. Because if they had made this a statutory matter, then any time a majority in House and Senate got a notion, they could change the other branch of government. Get it? The statutory law is what is passed by Congress. The constitutional law While it may start with Congress because it requires a legislative matter, it still has to be ratified by the states. And they know they can't get over that hump. And they know that the founders put it in place that way so that one branch of government would not screw with the other branch. And that's where we are. And yet here we are with Joe Biden, who typically disregards the Constitution. House Speaker Mike Johnson slammed the proposed Supreme Court reforms, which Biden is floating after several court controversies, as dangerous, saying they are dead on arrival. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell also argued in floor remarks the administration is pushing for reforms because they just don't agree with court decisions. Yeah. I got a call on line one. Is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm getting along, and all this is bringing me back to the Equal Rights Amendment, which sometime around 71, 72 got through Congress and the Senate, but it expired like 5-6 years later, yeah, simply because not enough of the states would ratify it.
Yeah.
And that's good, and that's over 5 years, so that's going to, no, this thing is doomed to begin with unless we, like you said, keep electing them.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point, man.
Still, there's an expiration point on the ratification. So y'all have a good one. Thanks.
You too, man. Thanks. I just hope there's an expiration point on the Biden-Harris administration. That's what I want. Yeah, I want the expiration. To me, they have already passed their use-by date. I'm pretty sure there's mold growing inside the package on that one. Hey, here's one weird thing, by the way, before I go to the break. So yesterday, you know, okay, we listen, the shine's off the apple. Nobody's trying to pretend anymore that Joe Biden has got it all going on, right? But yesterday was one of those weird moments where you look at it and go, what? He's at the airport. He's about to get on Air Force One. The sounds of the jets and everything, and press is shouting at him, which always drives me crazy. But the press is shouting at him. Mr. President, Mr. President, did you hear the Speaker Mike Johnson said that your proposal for Supreme Court is dead on arrival? At which point, Joe Biden yells, who said that? The reporter goes, Speaker Johnson, he said it's dead on arrival. And then the president looks at him and goes, I think that's what he is. What? And when the journalist asked for clarification, he just doubled down. He said, he is. He's dead on arrival. Did you just, I don't think that was a threat. But is that a weird reply? Is it just me? No. The whole world thinks that's a weird reply. Yeah, dead on arrival. And that's his answer? That's what he's got? I think he is. Nah, nah, nah. That's what it felt like. It was just, anyway, had to throw that one in right before the break. We're taking a break right now. We'll come back from this break and keep it going. I got a few folks out there who have some thoughts on how this could even possibly happen. Could it possibly happen? Well, I mean, it's like Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance? Nah. Not really. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Throwing some truth bombs up in here. Pulling the pin on a truth grenade. All right, so I'm going to keep on reminding you guys the text lines are open, 833-687-4448. I got to help me remember Big Rig to get back to Richard T. from Madison's extra long liberal text to me, where he rants about, if you really want a Secret Service, you're going to do, okay, whatever. I'll read it later and dig in a little bit. I got to finish this topic. I do have to say this, though. So John's going to deduct points now. I realize that I have every opportunity for deducting points because things are happening. I have to talk about them. Have you seen, Big Rig, have you seen the fact that Kamala Harris's campaign has got white dudes for Harris?
I have not seen that.
That's huge. It's all the rage. It's the thing. It's like, and they got all the cool kids in it. Pete Buttigieg, and
so they're like advertising it as that, white dudes for.
Dude, they did like a 10,000 strong Zoom call yesterday or something. Which I mean, I'll give them credit. They got some people on a Zoom call. Whoop whoop. But I don't know if they're going to wind up. Now they raised $3 million off that Zoom call too. But yeah, so what would happen? Let me ask you this question. What would happen if we decided to start White Dudes for Trump? How would that go?
They'd be setting stuff on fire.
That's exactly what they'd be doing, man. I mean, this It's just, it's nuts. By the way, I will say this. I was rather disappointed that one of my favorite actors, Jeff Bridges, is a member of White Dudes for Harris. I don't know what to say about that, but I hate it, the idea that, you know, the dude is now a white dude for Kamala Harris. They also have white chicks. They have white chicks for Harris.
Why don't we all got to be segregated?
That's what they do. It's their identity politics, man.
We all got to have our little labels.
It's just, no, they got to have their little labels.
Yeah, yeah, true.
All right, back on topic. The SCOTUS ploy. White dudes for Harris. Anyway, the SCOTUS ploy. So Leonard Leo is a conservative activist. He's somebody who's been around, you know, politics for a number of years. And he wrote a piece that was out on Fox News that I found very interesting. He said, with regards to the Biden-Harris discussion about overhauling the Supreme Court, this could backfire. I think so. He said, it's a good political ploy. It'll certainly help energize Democrat base that's reeling from a lot of disorder and uncertainty lately. See that, by the way, let me jump back. That's what they're doing. They know they can't pass this right now. I'm going to get into the why nots in a minute, but they can't pass this. They don't have the chutzpah. They don't have the majority. They don't have the staying power to make this happen. Joe Biden is a lame duck. Nobody could care what he wants for the next 6 months. He's just going to be napping and eating pudding and, you know, and waiting for his time to run out so he can draw his pension. Finally. This is about giving the base something to hang on to because they've been so beat up. I mean, Biden basically got, you know, dragged over rough concrete for the last month and finally had to step out. Democrats are like in disarray right now. But he says it's a good political ploy. It'll certainly help to energize a Democrat base that's reeling from a lot of disorder and uncertainty lately. But ultimately, these are the kinds of proposals that I think not likely to be adopted, but if ever adopted, they would politicize the institution, meaning the court. They would politicize it. He went on to say, there's a good chance that by putting this issue in full view, it just allows the Trump campaign and Republican candidates for the Senate and House to talk about the successes they've had with the Constitution and the rule of law, the Supreme Court over the past several years, and that we should want more of the same. It could potentially backfire. Great point. That's a thing. I think we need to capitalize on this and just say Democrats are just sore losers because we did this and this and this and this and this. And our Supreme Court was, you know, made conservative by Trump. That's anyway. Last thing, I tell you what, I'm going to finish this after the break. It won't take me long. But Greg Jarrett, Daily Caller has a piece. Greg Jarrett, who's actually the legal analyst for Fox, he wrote a piece or had an interview where he said, there's zero chance of this happening. And I'll break that down in more detail. So here's the thing. As you guys have those water cooler conversations, as you're sitting around talking to folks at Sunday school or wherever else, when something comes up, hey, did you hear what Biden said about the Supreme Court? Do you think he'll do it? No, you're going to be an expert. We're going to make you an expert. That's what we do, man. We dig up the stuff so that you can be the expert after you listen to Right Side Radio. More on that. We'll get right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two. Where did hour number one go? Did it go by already? Anyway, you're in hour number two of a Taco Tuesday, so stay tuned. We got more. Listen, I'm gonna wrap up this section about the SCOTUS ploy and give you some legit thoughts on, can they even do this? Is it possible? What would it take? Well, first of all, Biden is just blowing smoke, all right? He is. He's got nothing. He's got nothing. Nada. Not a thing. He's got nothing it takes right now to get this done. It's a heavy lift. It wouldn't matter if he had the House and the Senate. It would still be a heavy lift. You know why? Because when you say that the Supreme Court needs term limits, you realize you're asking the people who refuse to have term limits on themselves to pass the bill. Ha! Let that sink in. Oh, we believe in term limits now. Great. Do them for yourselves first. Oh, well, so about that, yeah, that's what happened. So term limits, no. Code of Ethics. We believe there should be a code of ethics that no one in the Supreme Court should ever be allowed to give a speech where there's an honorarium or, I don't know, be able to travel with a friend who has his own plane or, I don't know, stuff like that. Okay. You first. Yeah, all of you in Congress, all of you insider trading people, all of you who, you know, take perks and honorariums and lobbyist dinners and yada, 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 and play golf, all of it. Haven't paid for a tea time and God knows when. You first. They're not going to do it. They won't do it. And then on top of that, it's a constitutional amendment. So Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst, he did an interview just the other day about this. Daily Caller ran the story. And he said this. He said, like many of Joe Biden's ideas, most of it's unconstitutional. Democrats cannot simply pass a law imposing term limits on justices just because life terms are embedded in the Constitution. They are. When you, if somebody says to you, well, why are they there for so long? Because the Constitution says so. That's the first answer, which, you know, maybe one of those, well, why? That's kind of like when you're a kid and your dad says, because I'm your father, that's why. Okay, but why? Okay, then we go further. It's in the Constitution, so that's why. But secondly, why is it in the Constitution? Well, it's in the Constitution because the founders knew that if they left this up to the whims of Congress, that they'd be gerrymandering the court and jerking around another branch of government, and the branches of government are supposed to have bright lines between them. They are the checks and balances to each other, but they're not allowed to redo each other. The Supreme Court of the United States can review congressional action and determine whether it meets constitutional muster. The Congress can impeach members of other branches in the event that they have proof of high crimes and misdemeanors that need to be impeached. But you can't just sit around and go, I feel like changing them today. Do you? I am too. I'm mad at that ruling they made. Let's just change them. You can't do that. He closes with this. He says, remember, most of this has to be done by constitutional amendment. To even propose an amendment, you would have to have 2/3 vote of both houses of Congress. And then you'd have to have the states in constitutional conventions, ratifications, 3/4 of the states would have to ratify them. So when they change something that's in the Constitution, which is, you know, how we got the First, Second, Third, Fourth Amendments, the Bill of Rights, I think the Constitution's only been amended, 27 times in our entire history. And most of those happened in the Bill of Rights, 10 of them. Or the biggest bulk of those, 10 of them. It takes a lot to amend the Constitution, and it should. Anyway, when someone asks you, what do you think he's going to do about the Supreme Court of the United States? Do you like that? I don't know if I'd like, what do you think about that? You just give them an earful, man, because we gave you an earful right here on the radio. Right Side Radio, we're there for you. Let me get a few text messages, take this one all the way to the break. Gary from Decatur. Quote, he's dead on arrival. Yeah, that was that. So, by the way, just to back up, those of y'all may not have heard it, Joe Biden had one of those weird moments where a member of the press said, Mr. President, how do you feel about the fact that Speaker Johnson said that your proposal on the Supreme Court is dead on arrival? And his response was, he's dead on arrival. What does that mean? So Gary from Decatur says, he's dead on arrival. Isn't that dangerous and inflammatory speech? Huh. Like putting a target on Trump? Huh. That's a good point. Seems like only one political party can get away with that kind of speech, probably because they are old or well-meaning people in the Democrat Party, of course. Yeah. John from Huntsville says, Phil, I'm so furious with Joe Biden suggesting he's going to make extreme changes to the Supreme Court when he's basically been declared not fit to make any presidential decisions. Phil, I'm so outraged by this because it's clear to me Joe should be forced to resign. USA, USA. He's all in, man. We got exclamation points from John on the topic. He is like with us. I got a brand new caller. You want to plug him in? Tom from Decatur. Says, hi, Phil. Considering the Democrat word salad war going on, you might want to back off using the word weird so much. Huh. I'm not sure how to take that. Tom, whatever do you mean? Are you implying there's a word salad going on over here? Kenya from Monrovia says, news break. Really? Okay, I'll check into this. She's saying they just kidnapped Venezuela dictator's opponent. I've got a story on that yet. Kenya, if you have a story on that, send me the link. But I'll check it out, too, because later in the show, I will be doing some stuff on Venezuela. Allie from Athens says, one of my favorite sights at the 2018 Trump rally held in Nashville were the T-shirts worn by African-American males that read Blacks for Trump. This thing can work both ways. Let's do it. I want to do white dudes for Trump. That'll be awesome. Handyman from Caddo, Alabama says, remember that Herman Cain had honkies for Herman bumper stickers? I did not recall that. That's epic. David from Bucky's, he says, Phil, according to Google, when asked Kamala, your voice texted to me, brother, I can't get it. Said, quote, Google said, she took on those who are preying on the American people, winning a $1 trillion settlement for Californians whose homes have been foreclosed. And yeah, okay. Yeah, we're hearing right now that Google and Meta and some of the major search engines, the AI has been now configured to do nothing but provide what I've been referring to as camouflage. This is camouflage. You heard it here. I coined it on Right Side Radio. It's camouflage. They are hiding her true self with nothing but press-induced camouflage. Jim from Grove Oak says, okay, great show. Says the Colonel, great show as per usual. I love Carville's take on the whole situation. Said, we're getting ready to play Bama, and we're going to get slaughtered. Jim from Grove Oak. I hope that's true, man. I do. But listen, there's a piece that I tweeted out this morning from National Review. And it says basically, Republicans need to stop thinking that they're just going to win and that everybody loves their guy, because it's not true. The polls are close. We got to run like we're 10 points down, dude. Thomas from Athens says, if 18-year max service for SCOTUS members is magic, then why not propose for senators? See, exactly. He says, we need socialists for Kami Kamala, or commies for Kamala. They're out there. They just don't want to say it. This Ryan from Hazel Green says, are we doing college football picks again this year? We may. I don't know yet. We hadn't even worked through that. Boomer was the one who set that up back in the day, and I just don't know yet that we're going to wind up getting it done. All right, here's my liberal troll. I said I'd go back to it. I think it is. Let me read it again. Richard T. from Madison says, listening to your discussion and the questions being asked by Republicans, so they do not want answers. They just want to make political points for the Trump campaign. If you want to put the Secret Service totally in charge and not rely on local police, then here's the solution. Hire 3 times more Secret Service personnel. You're assuming they want to come to work right now, dude. And put a half mile, by the way, I'm hearing it's a toxic environment, Secret Service. And put a half mile radius perimeter around all events. We had a perimeter around all events. And by the way, this system works. They didn't use the system they had. That's the problem. Search everyone that comes inside that perimeter. They did. With the appropriate number of metal detectors. Don't know how much that will cost, but who cares? The question should have been asked, how many Secret Service were guarding Trump before he decided to run for election compared to the number that were guarding him? I'm not sure I can't decide if he's liberal or if he's just saying, do it better. Richard T., I may have maligned you. If that's the case, I beg your forgiveness. The bottom line is this. Secret Service has admitted they screwed up. We're finding out more and more that they knew about the guy. Local law enforcement knew about the guy. We had a breakdown in communication because they do have to rely upon locals to provide local security and local exterior perimeter and local snipers when necessary. But they also turned down drone work. They knew about the guy and didn't take the president off the stage. And they had 90 minutes trying to find a dude that they thought was pretty dangerous or at least suspicious. And they just goofed. And goofed in a way that got the former president, soon to be next president, shot. It's a failure of a scale that's not been seen since Reagan. Last but not least, Tom from Decatur says, not at all, Phil. The latest catchword with Democrats is weird, mainly talking about Vance. And I was listening to you, and I heard you use that same word a few times. Yeah, but Tom, they are the ones who are weird. So what do I do? Anyway. Frank from Madison says, remember Al Gore's 1992 stump speech that when everything that should be up is down, everything should be down is up? It's something. All right, Big Rig, take us to a break. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. Let's change the subject. You ready? Limited government. Why do we care? Well, we're conservatives. We're supposed to care. So what is it we stand for? Well, there's a variety of principles. One of them is limited government. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.